Chapter 13. Kyber Crystal Persuasion. Fresh from the Corellian shipyards, an Imperial Star Destroyer reverted to real space 1,000 kilometers out from the battle station. Because of whom it carried, the ship had been cleared to travel from the core to Geonosis without having to be granted clearance at Sentinel Base, parsecs distant in another star system. Aboard was Emperor Palpatine, said to be recovering from wounds suffered during an engagement with disloyal Jedi. Traveling with the Emperor was a new addition to the court, a being known only as Darth Vader, masked and caped, clothed in head-to-toe black, and evidently feared by many. But Krennic had to wonder, Vader's eccentric fashion sense notwithstanding, if he was really any more formidable than now Grand Vizier Mas Amida. Of greater importance to Krennic was that Willef Tarkin was also known to be aboard the Star Destroyer. Krennic suspected that the reason he himself had been left off the elite passenger list owed to Poggle's escape, even though the Archduke was now apparently dead, along with Count Dooku and the rest of the Separatist leadership. Gone, too, were the Jedi generals in their homespun robes, armed with lightsabers and the Force. Krennic continued to monitor the approach of the Star Destroyer from a bay inside the command and control habitat. If nothing else, he had at least managed to get the focusing dish installed in advance of the Emperor's visit. He watched as a shuttle emerged from one of the capital ship's hangars, hyperspace capable and as graceful as a long-winged bird of prey. The war had been won without the battle station. Now, however, it was to be put to different use, to eliminate the chance of future conflicts by instilling fear in the hearts of those who would seek to threaten the integrity of the Empire. And yet it still lacked the one special ingredient that would transform it into the weapon it was always meant to be, and to elevate Krennic as a result. Galen Erso. Galen had been sorry to learn that Roman Herbane had lost a limb to blaster fire during the final battle on Lokori, and that his executive secretary had sustained fatal injuries. Herbane could easily afford a synthskin prosthesis, but Li Tan would not be so easily replaced. For all the arguments Galen had had with him, Herbane had simply been a victim of his own stubbornness, lack of foresight, and limited intelligence. Even so, Galen sympathized with the grief the man had to be experiencing. The memory of the confrontation with the battle droids continued to haunt him. Helical Hypercom had asked him to consider replacing Herbane as chief operating officer of the production facility, but Galen knew that he lacked the skills necessary for administrative work. More, he yearned to return to pure research. By contrast, he and Lyra and Jin had grown fond of Lokori, and the offer from HH was tempting. Galen told the president of Helical that he needed time to think about it, and had asked for a brief sabbatical. They were on their way to Coruscant to consider plans for a permanent move to Lokori when Krennic calmed, asking that they divert briefly to Kanzai, where he promised to rendezvous with them. He assured Galen that the additional travel expenses would be covered by the Empire. The Empire. The galaxy was still reeling from the events of the past few months. The war ended, the Jedi Order disbanded, eradicated by some accounts. A new and expanded military established to reinforce the limited shelf life clones who made up the Grand Army, and ex-Supreme Chancellor Sheev Palpatine as self-appointed Emperor. Galen, Lyra, and Jin were waiting in the atrium of the Orona Hotel on Kanzai when Krennic marched into the majestic space, dressed in a crisp white uniform and command cap, insignia squares shouting his rank from the tunic, a small contingent of Imperial stormtroopers moving in his wake. An alloy case dangled from his left hand, its pulsing light indicating to Galen's sharp eye that it would open only for Krennic himself. Once they had exchanged pleasantries, he led them toward a private room he had reserved. Pausing briefly in front of a mural, three Bith artisans were laser etching into a wall of polished stone. The hairless, dome-headed, black-eyed humanoids were working from a detailed drawing that recounted the history of the Republic from inception to empire, with a cloaked and cowled Palpatine occupying the crown. Krennic motioned the Ursos in, and the stormtroopers fell into guard formation outside the door. While Jin roamed about inspecting the room, Krennic placed the case on a table where he could see and read his coded rank insignia. The case emitted an audible click and whir, unlocking itself, but Krennic left it closed, folding his hands atop the lid. "I understand that Helical Hypercom has offered you a permanent position," he said to Galen.
"I'm supposed to be thinking it over.
I hope you plan to turn them down."
"It would be a living," Galen said. "A very good living, in fact."
Krennic laughed, eyeing Lyra, then Galen.
"Since when do you two care about credits?"
Galen didn't join him in laughing.
"Well, I have something better to offer in any case."
Galen and Lyra traded wary looks.
"Let me explain," Krennic said. "Now that the war is winding down..."
"Winding down," Lyra cut in.
"It's not over?"
Krennic rocked his head. "Pockets of resistance remain, especially on Umbara. Our forces are engaging in several, shall we say, pacification exercises to bring about a lasting peace. The Emperor has made reparations and reconstruction a priority. And one way he hopes to achieve this is by being able to provide sustainable energy to worlds that have suffered on both sides of the conflict." He gestured with his chin to Galen.
"Even your own Grange."
Lyra's brows quirked in a sign of doubt.
"This is the same Palpatine who couldn't get anything done as Supreme Chancellor?"
Krennic stared at her. "He defeated the Separatists."
"With a lot of help."
Krennic dismissed it.
"As Emperor, he can accomplish what the corrupt pre-war Senate wouldn't permit. Project Celestial Power is his vision. His dream."
"But just how is he planning to implement Project Celestial Power?"
Galen asked.
"To begin with, he has allocated funds for a research facility on Coruscant, which is already under construction in the Bancor Refuge."
Lyra let her surprise show.
I thought the refuge had been granted to the Bancora in perpetuity."
Krennic smiled thinly.
"The Bancora have been relocated."
"This research facility is the better offer you mentioned?"
Galen said.
"It is. What do you think of the idea?"
Galen exhaled through his nose.
"I guess it depends on how I would fit in."
"Fit in?"
Krennic said, laughing again.
"Why, the Emperor is hoping that you'll accept the position of Director of Research." "Galen, it's precisely the project you approached me with more than a year ago. Your dream, as well as the Emperor's."
Galen turned to Lyra in complete astonishment.
"Galen!"
"Orson, I don't know what to say."
"Well, you'll say yes if you know what's good for you."
He reached across the table to clap Galen on the shoulder. Then, smiling slyly, he rapped his knuckles on the lid of the case.
"I've something here I suspect will serve as a major incentive."
Lifting the lid, he spun the case so that Galen and Lyra could view the contents. The objects in the case caught the light of the room and refracted it in shifting colors into their eyes. Lyra's hand went to her mouth.
"Are those
Kyber crystals?"
Galen completed, as if struggling to articulate the words.
"And many, many more where these came from," Krennic said. "In fact, now that the Jedi have been disbanded,
The Empire has unrestricted access to worlds that for centuries were accessible only to the Order. Not just these small samples, but enormous crystals. Boulder-sized, I'm told. Even larger. With care that transcended need, Galen prized one of the translucent crystals from its memory foam bed and turned it about in his hand. Having hurried over to have a look, Jin said,
"I want one."
"Maybe someday," Lyra said, gently restraining her from reaching for the case.
Krennic was about to elaborate when a stormtrooper called him from the room and he excused himself. Lyra waited until Krennic was outside to place her hand on Galen's forearm. In a hushed but serious tone, she said,
"Galen, you know where these came from."
"My Gito, perhaps,"
Galen said, distracted and still fascinated by the colorless kyber.
"Possibly Ilum or Christophsis."
"Not their source world," she said. "The size of them. The shape."
He finally turned to meet her wide-eyed gaze.
"These could only have come from Jedi lightsabers."